To mend your faith, the apostle wrote, to mend faith. A noun and a verb, faith and mend. Faith is our personal reliance on God. Faith is our willingness, both in doubt and trust, to live each day. You honor life by living it. You find faith by receiving it. Faith is the state of being grasped by the Spirit, of being grasped by the Holy Spirit in love and justice and truth. Any real faith has some doubt in it, to keep it honest. Faith is the experience of really being alive, fully alive, of living with courage, of being willing to risk, to fail, and to start again. Faith is where and who you are when you are your ownmost self. So, faith is freedom, real freedom. Of course, we seek the ultimate. We seek the infinite. We seek the divine. Of course we do. Whatever else is life for? This is why we tend to think that everybody, or very nearly so, has some kind of faith. You may not have it dressed up in fancy linguistic garments or arguments. That's all right. You don't have to be Paul Tillich to have the courage to be. You don't have to read his Dynamics of Faith to have faith. And you are grown-ups. You have grown up. So you know well what faith is not. Faith is not blind trust. Faith is not knowledge of all mysteries. Faith is not exception from the laws of nature, physics, gravity, motion. Faith is not obedience to authority for the sake of obedience to authority, religious or otherwise. Faith is not capture by false ultimacies like success or nation or even religion. Faith is not protection from calamity. Born, we are old enough to die. Rain falls on the just and on the unjust. This is what the cross is all about. The cross is the measure and the correction of false faith, what faith is not. And real religious faith is unsparingly self-critical. Still, your faith gives you the courage to withstand what you cannot understand. Your faith lives in the courage to be over against all of the fretful and frightening existential anxieties of life, sin, death, meaninglessness, all. On the street, right on the street, right on this street where you live. You may be at a point to hear this word after a week of rending, of tearing, of cuts, bruises, and untimely death. Jesus proclaimed by John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness, Jesus came and taught us that we are children of God, heirs of life eternal. Jesus has made us children of God. In word and in sacrament today, we are reminded and we are mended. The gospel in this one word, mended, illumines and inspires. You will have heard and read our phrase from last week's lesson, mend your faith. In a way, you heard it again moments ago in Luke and Philippians. The gospel down under, down in the valley, expects a filling up to come, a kind of geological mending, mountains and hills lowered, crooked ways straightened, rough places smoothed out, a mending of the earth, of nature, and a right beautiful reading. The letter to the Philippians, composed in the slammer, you fill in your own favorite term for prison, pokey, calaboose, hoosegow, gray bar hotel, municipal motel, stir up the river, joint, doing time, expects a freedom from behind bars. And more lovely the phrase, a partnership of the gospel, a mending of the yoke of bondage, of history, wherein love abounds, and knowledge too, and discernment, and insight, and excellence, and glory, and praise, and a right beautiful reading. You heard it here this morning, but you heard it last Sunday in a sliver of a silver line. Paul, last week in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10, said he hoped to be with that, his favorite congregation, to complete what is lacking in your faith. That at least is what you heard last week here from the New Revised Standard Version. A while back, a generation ago, from the Revised Standard Version, you would have heard not complete, but supply what is lacking in your faith. And at the building of Marsh Chapel 60 years ago in the King James Version, you would have heard perfect what is lacking in your faith. Complete, supply, perfect. But complete, that sounds like a final exam. Supply, that sounds like an economic theory. Perfect, that chills, that sounds cold to the bone. And Paul here yearns, longs, desires to make things right in faith. And the rendering of his yearning is carried to us in these translations. Every person of faith, you and he and all, certainly every minister of the gospel at our best, so yearns, so longs to desire, to complete, to supply, to perfect, round out faith. Why? Because we are so unfinished. Because we are so famished. Because we are so fragmented. But there is a better way to render that verb, better than complete or supply or perfect. And happily, I heard it last Sunday. Last Sunday before worship, some of us sat quietly to read the lessons of the day. One student, DJ Demarius, quietly read 1 Thessalonians 3:10, but he read not from the New or the Revised or the King James versions, but from the New English Bible, another translation, and a good one. And there he read, "To mend your faith," so his version read. The slight change is a sliver of a silver lining, especially today, especially this week. For now and then our faith needs a little mending. Now and then our faith needs a little mending. Everyone's faith needs some stitching up now and then. We face our existential anxieties like betrayal. Betrayal tears at the fabric of faith, and their faith needs mending. The former governor of California, I read, sat for years over many meals across a shared table without mentioning that one of the caretaker's sons was his. After that, faith needs a little mending. The former assistant to John Edwards, who testified energetically against him for his betrayal, knew early in his own life about betrayal, for his father had been the dean of Duke Chapel and a sometime visitor at a nearby Red Roof Inn in the company of a non-spouse. That early betrayal cut deeply into the fabric of later life. Both his dad and his boss had been false to him. A little mending required, no? Sometimes come Sunday, faith needs a little mending. The current leader learns the hard way that no email is ever private, ever. Feel free to put anything you want in email as long as you're glad to have it on your tombstone or on the front page of the New York Times. But the public cacophony in that incident is pale by comparison with the rending of the garment of faith in the home for the loved ones. Faith, for sure, to be sure, needs a little stitch, a little mending, a little patch every now and then. How we long, yearn to mend your faith. And what about the bigger betrayals, when nature and history let us deeply down? Some mending required there, too. When violence between Middle Eastern nations goes on endlessly, generation to generation, mending required. When a good nation somehow quietly slides into unexamined drone warfare, wherein a man in a blue shirt at 8 a.m. drives from Manlius to North Syracuse to sit in a screen room and push buttons that have deadly consequence a world away, and then to stop at Wegmans on the way home on East Genesee Street to pick up Cheerios and an extra Christmas ornament, to have a quiet evening in the suburbs. Some mending required. Or harder and more immediate, personal to us, when the specter of untimely death descends upon a commonwealth on Commonwealth Avenue, and an early, unfair, unjust, and tragic loss evokes a piercing question: where was God? I thought God loved us. Or in the nature of things, when a formal and false accusation, untrue but lastingly cutting, maims someone we love. Now, come Sunday, we know about needing a needle and thread and stitch, a little tuck, a little mending of our faith. The route to Bethlehem every year goes right straight through the icy River Jordan. Icy, cold, real, existential River Jordan. As my student fellow student of the Bible remembered, Paul was a tent maker. He knew about canvas and holes and leaks and cuts, and he could mend as well as make. That is what makes the New English Bible translation so mendingly meaningful. How I long to mend your faith. Our son had a stuffed animal for many years. The animal was a raccoon, a stuffed raccoon. The raccoon's name was Rooster, Rooster Raccoon. I have no idea how such a name came to be his, but his it was. Rooster Raccoon went with us on vacation. Rooster, the raccoon, I mean, went with us on boat rides, on toboggan rides, on car rides. Rooster had his own seat in the way back of the van. He took the sun at Marconi Beach. He rode over the Mercier Bridge into Montreal. He learned to swim the hard way by falling overboard. He slept outside in a snow fort. He was the first one up in the morning and the last one to bed at night. Sometimes the dog would take him by the collar and run around. We sometimes asked him to say grace at dinner. He would offer a resonant, silent prayer. After a few years, he looked like he was about finished. For stuffed raccoons, one human year is the same as 14, 13 or 14, the metric's uncertain. By accident, near Christmas one evening, rooster, raccoon, found himself seated a little close to the macaroni and cheese on the stove, and up he went in smoke, or at least in part he went up in smoke. He was left missing the left part of his left part. I see the child's hand holding up the smoldering dog-eared raccoon with no words, only tears and an unspoken question, can't you do something? And then a quick, confident, maternal murmur, just let me have him, just let me have him. You wait and see, you wait and see. He will be good as new. We can mend him, we can mend him, we can mend it. And she did. And Rooster Raccoon was and is the best looking stuffed raccoon without a left side that you could ever want. He is also the most oddly named and now the most oddly shaped stuffed raccoon this side of the Mississippi. But now you will rightly say something like this, Dean Hill. Some things cannot be mended, Dean Hill. Some things cannot be mended. The damage is done. And I will say to you, don't I know it? Don't I know it? But nevertheless, I also will say that longing to mend, that never ends. That desire to mend, that is everlasting. That willingness to mend, nothing quenches, squelches that. That desire to trim and patch and weave and make it do or do without, that urge to mend the tears in your loved one's faith, the desire a pastor has to mend the faith of a congregation, that goes from heaven to earth and back. There is something in that wanting to mend that, like the Eucharist, brings heaven here. Faith is your willingness in the teeth of sin and death and meaninglessness, both in doubt and trust, to live with courage every day. Somebody's welfare this coming week will benefit from your confident, faithful courage. You find faith by receiving it, and faith is the state, say in word, say at table, of being grasped by the Spirit and filled with love and justice and truth. Or as Paul wrote, we pray most earnestly night and day to be allowed to see you again and to mend your faith where it falls short.